What is up, Cyclone Nation? I'm excited to bring with you, or bring to you, that is, the first Williams and Bloom Summer Series podcast in 2 years. Brent Bloom, what is up, my man?
It's my favorite thing to do.
I love it. And you know why we're doing it? We're doing it because of our friends at J&S Acres Trucking. My guy, Joel Ehlers. Here's what he does. And this is, we're excited about this because we're doing a little bit different here with some marketing at Cyclone Fanatic. We're trying to connect business people. Cyclone business people who love the Cyclone, Cyclone Fanatics. We want to connect these people. So this is what Joel Ehlers does. My guy, Joel Ehlers at J&S Acres Trucking. He's a farm guy and he hauls cattle. He hauls cattle.
If you need
cattle hauled, Joel Ehlers is your guy, and I want to tell you a little bit about him. We're going to do that as he and J&S Acres Trucking are bringing you the summer series of podcasts at Cyclone Fanatic all summer long. Joel's phone number, 712-299-8196. I want to give you, this is personal phone number for you guys out there to connect, 712-299-8196. Doesn't matter if it's moving your from your farm to market, from your farm to a sale barn to a farm. He'll haul calves for you. He's everywhere from the Dakotas to Montana. Joel is your guy. Really does a lot in Western Iowa too. So if there's Western Iowa farmers out there and you need this service, Joel Ehlers is your guy. I'm excited, Bloom, too. We already have our good friends at AgriGold on the podcast, and they're all over Cyclone Fanatic. And I like getting the ag community involved here. It's such a big deal at Iowa State University.
Oh, that's what Iowa State is based on.
Yep.
Is the ag people. If you can connect Cyclones to Cyclones with our guy Joel and farmers who may need that service, why not use a Cyclone? Then you get into Western Iowa and you get some Huskers, you get some Hawks.
But yep.
Use a Cyclone if you can.
And he's supporting Cyclone Fanatics, so we're gonna try our best to get Joel some business. All right. We had a great thread for topics that people wanted us to discuss in the 2017 summer series of podcasts. Now, if this is your first time listening to the summer series, we need to recap you on what we do. We're in my basement in Bondurant. Bloom and I each have a beverage in front of us. And what we're doing is we're inviting you to listen into our bar conversation. And this is really what Bloom and I do talk about. And Bloom's my best friend. I do pretty much everything with him. This is a typical Friday or Saturday night for us. Before we move on, Bloom, what's your drink of choice tonight?
I've got Toppling Goliath Golden Nugget, which is an IPA made by the fine folks.
I don't think I've ever had that. That's the same folks who make the
Pseudo-Sue. This is their IPA, also very, very good. Highly recommend. Got a 4-pack last night in preparation for this evening.
All right.
Why not use an Iowa beer out of Decorah? Which, rumor is, a little breaking news.
Okay.
They may be starting a brewery in Des Moines, which would be big time.
Oh, that would be big time.
Heard that rumor.
Okay. Day. I've got just a glass of Blanton's single barrel bourbon.
Boom.
On the rocks.
You've kind of gone to that model
lately. I have. Yeah, I have. It's more of my thing now. Like, I mean, I still like beer, don't get me wrong, but this is more of my thing at night now. I'd rather have one or two of these compared to 10 of those. If that makes any sense.
I have enjoyed hopping on the bourbon bandwagon.
Yeah, it's been nice to have you. Okay, tonight's topic, the Mount Rushmore of Iowa State athletics. Very trendy sports radio topic. However, we've never done this. It's like one fanatic.
We've never written about it.
We've never done anything like this.
And I don't know if I've really seen it anywhere as well. It's just an interesting deal because there's a lot to pick from and a lot of different conversation around why you would pick. It's not as easy as you think.
It is a very nuanced conversation, I believe. In fact, I was testing this out at a golf tournament I was playing in the other day. And there were four of us, and we all had different lists.
Mm-hmm.
Not one of us had an identical list. And quite frankly, they were very polarizing lists to the other people. Like,
there's people who do not like our answers or our four.
Yeah, and that's fine.
That's part of it.
You know, a couple things go into this. When were you born?
Yep.
That has a lot to do with it.
Absolutely.
What sports are you passionate about? This is how I built my list. What do these people mean to Iowa State? Not in every circumstance is what they did on the floor or field specific. It is what do they mean? Do they have longevity? Will they be remembered in 20 years?
Right.
That was kind of how I tackled this. For me, I had three no-brainers. I had three gentlemen that were locks. Number four got very tricky for me.
Yeah, and I struggled. I had about
to be honest,
14, and I couldn't get it. I don't even know what four I'm going
to
go
honest,
with.
At this point, we don't know who's on each other's list.
Nope.
And I want to point out as well, you've been a passionate follower of Iowa State for much longer than I have.
That's fair.
So we come at it from different ways. I've worked kind of inside with, covered the program more. You've kind of come at it as a fan more.
Correct.
And you've been on the radio network, and you've traveled more, and you've done that. So we see this differently, I think, which will make it interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to get into this, but I don't even know what direction I want to go.
You still don't have your four picked out? Man, because I do. I got mine locked in before tonight.
I have a good idea, but I have the right to change my mind during our discussion.
Well, I feel like I'm a pretty persuasive guy.
Well, I mean, for some simple-minded people, but not a genius like me.
Do you want to start or do you want me to start?
Go ahead.
I'm really excited about this.
Yeah, go ahead and jump in because I've got my list here that I'm trying to narrow down. And we appreciate all the folks that chimed in on Twitter.
Well,
that was fun.
What's going to be fun about this, too, is when we get the podcast posted, to watch all the forums. Because
right.
I feel like there's going to be a lot of opinion on it.
Yeah, and there's no perfect answer here.
No, there's no wrong, right or wrong.
We don't want to discredit anybody we don't mention because there are some names and especially people mentioned today on Twitter, you know, some of the old Olympians from track and field and gymnastics and such. And that's thank you for the suggestions, and I appreciate your passion, but I think we'll probably approach this a little more traditionally than some of those Olympians.
What I'm going to say, too, you're right. We're not discrediting anyone.
No.
But if somebody within Iowa State Athletics accomplished something in the 70s,
right,
and that person is not a household name for the student walking down campus right now, that's a problem when it comes to the Mount Rushmore, in my opinion.
I tend to agree.
It's why Gary Thompson's a candidate and George Adamson is not.
Right. Because I think Gary Thompson would have more.
I pronounced his last name correct, right?
Amundsen,
yeah, correct. Amundsen. 1977, the last first-round draft pick for Iowa State.
Correct, and a great player, but we never saw him. And that impacts it, too.
Yeah, it does, but my point is, like, it doesn't take away from his greatness, but he wasn't transcendent. Gary Thompson was transcendent for not only what he did in a Cyclone basketball uniform, but for what he did in the broadcasting world.
And then
the
fact that he's still a consultant.
Yeah, he's still there helping the athletic department make decisions. He was transcendent beyond generations.
And I'll just give my vague perspective of how I approach this. If I was another school, and you tell me who are the four most important people at Iowa State, who would they be? Not necessarily from the inside, because I think we've had a closer eye on some of the non-traditional people. But if you're a Texas Tech fan, who do you think of from Iowa State? I kind of went at it from that perspective. So similar to you, where you have to be more of a not just stats and numbers and success on the floor, but
right.
Who do you think of when you think Iowa State?
Then I'll start, and this is how I just jotted down a quick note about each of these individuals.
Okay.
And I'll start with, and this is in no particular order. I didn't do like power rankings or anything. I will say my first three are the ones who I think should not be left off this list.
Okay.
The fourth is very debatable for me. Dan McCarney. And this is what I wrote about Dan McCarney. And I think it's what you just described. It has to be somebody special with a vision, more than a coach, a character. And that's what it took to dig Iowa State out of football irrelevancy. What is Iowa State football today if Dan McCarney doesn't rattle off that streak against the University of Iowa in 1998? I don't know the answer to that.
And it's interesting because I might have Dan. He was kind of on. I think I'm going to have Dan
Let me 56 and 85
that's
overall.
That's where I was going. 56,
27 and 68 in the Big 12.
Think about that. 30 games under 500.
I know. If you're a Texas Tech fan, I'm going to put your own words against you. And I said, Iowa State Athletics. Dan McCartney would be
probably
on that list.
That's probably why he's on my four. I'm not finalized yet, but if you think about it now, so if you look at Dan McCartney, and again, he was at Iowa State for 11, 12 years. And where they were when he got there, the football program was a disgrace, like an absolute monstrosity. It was so bad. They had nothing. They had literally nothing.
Can I read you Dan McCartney's conference record from 1995 to 1999? 1-6, 1-7, 1-7, 1-7, and 1-7.
Nobody survives that this day. But
no.
credit Gene Smith for sticking with him. He almost let Dan go after the 1998 season, and they held on. 99 showed improvement, and then 2000 was the breakout year. But it's interesting. You would have Dan McCartney on there, right, instead of Earl Bruce. Earl Bruce had a winning record at Iowa State. Isn't that crazy? Like, that's remarkable now, considering Iowa State football history, that guy was there for 5 years and had a winning record. But I agree with you. I don't think about Earl Bruce as on my Mount Rushmore, but Dan McCartney's in my conversation. By the way, also he was an ambassador, and maybe the best ambassador for Iowa State in our time covering the Cyclones. That helps his cause here.
Think about how much football means to the entire athletic department when it comes to revenue. If Dan McCartney does not scrape Iowa State up from irrelevancy, how does that impact the rest of the athletic department in the 2000s?
It's a fantastic question. I don't know. They had literally nothing with Jim Walden there. That was when I started going to games. And it was, you could literally drive in, park next to the street right next to Jack Trice Stadium, and then walk in, find a seat anywhere. It was so bad and not competitive at all. That turnaround was still maybe my favorite part of my teenage years, truthfully, because I never thought it was possible. I mean, I grew up in a time in central Iowa where you'd have 30 kids in your class and 28 of them were Hawkeye fans. And now, because of Dan McCartney, I think, first and foremost, that's probably 50-50 now in central Iowa. I think he had as much to do of Iowa State becoming relevant in central Iowa as just about any. Now, you can argue basketball is a part of that, but Iowa State was good at basketball back in the 90s, early 90s, too. They did not have that representation in central Iowa. Iowa State becoming relevant in football because of Dan McCartney, and it's carried over since then.
Do you remember in 1995, like, who else was even in the running for Dan McCartney's job?
Yeah, it was the offensive coordinator at K-State.
So one of Bill Snyder's guys?
One of Bill Snyder's guys, and a guy at Central Michigan. Like, it was two nobodies.
So nobody turned out to be anything?
Nope.
He almost
got let go because he had some controversy when he was hired with some situations
with the domestic stuff. Yeah.
But they held on to him. I mean, nowadays, I don't know if he lasts, truthfully, but they did. And, man, those years from where Iowa State was to all the way to 2005, those are pretty fun.
Coached five of Iowa State's, what, seven bowl appearances?
Yeah.
Or wait, I'm talking like the modern era. I know they went to some back then. I'm thinking McCartney on.
McCartney on.
Rhodes went to two.
He went to two. And it was – no, Rhodes went to three.
Rhodes went to three. Oh, yeah, because he had the insight, the pinstripe. And the
Liberty Bowl. Yeah. All the last two pretty forgettable.
Listen, I think I agree with you.
I think Dan McCartney has to be on there. But it's strange, and it's almost indicative of Iowa State football, that a guy that was 30 games under 500 – would still be on the Mount Rushmore, but I think it's appropriate here. And he continues to be a Cyclone to this day.
And I think, too, again, this is what I wrote for Dan McCartney. To do what he did, it had to take somebody special with a vision to dig Iowa State out of irrelevancy. McCartney was more than a coach. He was a character. Now, I don't know Earl Bruce. I was not around.
Johnny Majors is a similar boat.
Correct. I was not around for those days. However, did they have success? Absolutely. Is it success that was transcendent throughout generations?
Clearly not, because it couldn't carry over.
Yes, that's my point.
And you know
and
what?
We don't even know if McCartney's will.
Yeah. But for How many years from 2000 to 2005? That was the best consistent stretch, at least in my time. Now the 70s were pretty good. I mean, they were.
Well, I mean, the fact that he turned the Iowa series,
but I go back to, he made Iowa State football important again in Central Iowa, and this was a Hawkeye area for when I was a child.
So you're not going to tell me if McCartney's on yours or not?
He's I'm pretty confident.
Okay, so we're going to have this conversation basically, and then you're going to decide at the end.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
I have mine locked
okay.
in.
Okay, you're good. You know, I'm 95% in on McCartney.
Okay. Do you want me to go?
Yeah.
Just go keep going down mine.
Yep.
Johnny Orr.
Yeah, that's an automatic for me too.
He showed that it was okay for a big time name in the sport to go to little old Iowa State. I think he took like a raise for like $12,000, negotiated his own contract to come to Iowa State. He's still the winningest coach in Iowa State history. He's the father of Hilton Magic, which is the biggest brand in Iowa State athletics.
Agreed.
Iowa State had not gone to an NCAA tournament since World War II before him. That's 40 years. And Orr took them to only 6-14 seasons, but what was unprecedented success for that era of Cyclone basketball. He's got a statue in Hilton Coliseum. He, I think you could largely say, made things better for the guys who would succeed him at Iowa State.
No doubt.
So I find it hard to make an argument against Johnny Orr being on the list.
Similar
to McCartney, the character thing, the brand, all that stuff.
And that's what does it for me, because in the 80s, that was a rough time, really, for Iowa State athletics. I mean, wrestling was good. Football was just going through stuff, even NCAA stuff, like sanctions. And Johnny kept them. He was the Pied Piper of Iowa State athletics, and he kept things moving. And he was a brand. He was, like you said, Hilton Magic. Without Johnny Orr, we don't know if the rest of that is possible, but it's his character. And he was, I wrote this when he passed away. There are people with charisma and there are icons. Johnny Orr is an icon. Everything he did was bigger than life. And he's one of those guys you never expected for him to not be there, because he was bigger than life. My favorite Johnny Orr story that I've heard passed on through the years. Back in the 80s, they used to do these, basically the Cyclone tailgate tours, except they would go to 30, 35, 40 stops a summer. Each stop would have a golf outing and then a dinner. The story I've heard through the years, so they'd golf all day and then they'd have a banquet that night. And Johnny would always, of course, the colorful language always, and would tell stories. And the popular whipping boy at the time was the football coach, Jim Kreiner, who was just easy to pick on. Well, Johnny, in his famous Johnny voice, says, "I know only two people who can get 45,000 folks to stand up and yell Jesus Christ. The Reverend Billy Graham and Jim Kreiner." But it's that colorful personality that just, he's what Iowa State needed. And I think he took the torch from a time that was really difficult. By the way, he made a Sweet 16. He started that Michigan pipeline. He got some really great players. And, you know, we can talk about Mount Rushmore and guys I thought about, including your Barry Stevens, mm-hmm. your Jeff Greer.
Yeah.
I almost wrap them up into Johnny Orr as kind of of that.
I think it's difficult to make this as a player.
I agree. I totally agree. But I think Johnny Orr is definitely a fixture. Amazingly enough, though, and I think this goes back to the history of Iowa State, he never won more than two Big Eight games on the road. Steve Prohm won, what, six last year in conference? So the success was really good. He has obviously the most wins of all time. But it wasn't as if he, you know, had this remarkable success. But that's not what Johnny Orr was. There's more than wins and losses here.
There's nuance to every one of these guys.
Yeah, I don't think there's four locks. But if there was a lock to me, I think it's Johnny, just because of what he did, what he built, and what has sustained because of what he built.
My next one is the most popular player in Iowa State history. He's the most popular coach in Iowa State history. His number hangs in the rafters of Hilton Coliseum. He, after a long career in the NBA, revived Cyclone basketball that was a dead program as a coach. He carries the torch to this day for the Johnny Orr and Tim Floyd eras. An all-Big Eight player. He's all over the record books. coached Iowa State to four straight NCAA tournaments and set Steve Prohm up with elite talent to make that six in a row. I think Fred Hoiberg is a lock on the Iowa State Mount Rushmore.
Agreed. He was my one with Johnny. I think those two, bar none, put him up there for the same reasons you said. And have you ever heard one bad thing said about Fred Hoiberg?
No.
Just from people who know him. Now, you can disagree with how that ended and how he went about it. But I honestly, to this day, I think that's life. It was going to happen eventually. I think he set Steve Prohm up just like – it's interesting. If you'd ask Fred, I bet he would echo the thoughts of what Johnny Orr did for Tim Floyd next to him, was he had – a roster set up for the next guy to hopefully build a program. And Steve Frohm's taken the torch, and the last 2 years have been pretty fun as well. And I think you can credit not only Hoiberg for revitalizing Iowa State when he got the job in 2010, he had four scholarship players. And do you remember who they were? They weren't – it's not like
– Okay, yeah. let me see if I can guess.
Deontay Garrett.
Jamie Vanderbeacon.
This is where – exactly. Like, it gets really tough. I'm trying to remember as well.
Those are the only two I can remember.
Boo Boo Pollard.
Oh, Jake Anderson.
Jake Anderson was
or he
was
recruited
new.
Him.
Yeah, he was a
Boo Boo Paulo, was Boo Boo on scholarship then, or
I think
he still walking?
I don't know. That's a good question. But that's who we're talking about here. Like, there wasn't much there. And it's easy to forget about, but he almost made two Final Fours. Of course, everyone remembers the Niang broken foot in I think that was 2014. But then also
Chris Babb.
Yeah, with the ankle.
And then the crappy officiating as well.
Oh, don't get me started. Not going to go there. But no, it was really bad.
But they
changed that rule because of the Will Clyburn charge.
Really?
Yeah, the circle.
They changed it specifically because of Will Clyburn.
That was kind of the genesis of that.
Don't you feel like that Fred team, too, gets forgotten about often? Because
one of my favorites.
Because, like, Lucius and Clyburn were only there for a year.
And that was Tyrus's senior year, and he was just filthy that year. That game against Kansas that they lost that had all the controversy.
Oh, my God. I'll never forget that night.
Go rewatch that and see how good Tyrus McGee was. One of my favorite players in Iowa State history, just because he had no conscience, and he was so good. But he didn't guard anybody, but you didn't need him to guard anybody.
He did not guard anybody.
He did not guard many people.
God love him, though. No, okay, so here's the deal with Fred, though. In addition to all of that success, though, he's always come back to Iowa State.
No
he's
question.
Always... even when, I remember the first time it was the McDermott years. He was there, and I'm covering the game or whatever, and I had just gotten back here. We just started the Cyclone Fanatic thing, and he was there to scout Craig Brackens. And, like, I remember bumping into Fred, met him for the first time that night, larger than life. You know, and not only is he there scouting Craig Brackens, he's wearing an Iowa State polo.
And he would just show up to football games and be like, He would come into the radio booth and be like, hey, how's it going, guys? And he would just sit with John and Eric and just hang out for a couple quarters. He just loves Iowa State. And, the way it ended, whatever, it was kind of rough. But I think at the end of the day, Fred is always going to be a Cyclone through and through. He's the mayor. He'll always be the mayor, and he belongs on Mount Rushmore.
Okay, this is where it gets really tricky for me. And before we do that, I want to give a shout-out to our guy, Joel Ehlers, and the guys over at J&S Acres Trucking. Now, I'm talking to the fellas out in western Iowa right now, Bloom. Remember when we worked at KMA, we'd take the road trips to Carroll?
Oh, yeah.
Road trips to Carroll.
Ottoman.
The Ottoman Wheelers.
Sheldon.
Sheldon.
The O-Rabs.
That's what they are?
Yep.
A lot of that's cattle country.
No question.
In western Iowa. And there's also a ton of Iowa State fans in those parts. And one of my favorite things about when we're doing the Cyclone Fanatic podcast, when you get the tweets from the guys on the combine and they're listening to the podcast. I love that. I love farmers. I'm from that side of the state. I appreciate what you do. And I'm asking you to help out another guy in the ag industry, Joel Ehlers. He wants your business. He will transport your cattle properly and safely. I want you to give them a call today. It's 712-299-8196. Number four on the Mount Rushmore was incredibly difficult for me.
Ugh.
In fact, I can't believe I've landed where I've landed.
I've got like 12 people, and I don't know. I want them all. Can I have like 12 different people on the floor?
No, you can only have one. So are you down with my first three?
I'm pretty good with those. Those are my most confident people. I think Fred's a lock.
Fred's a lock.
I think Johnny's a lock. Dan is there for me, and I'm 95% in on Dan. It's the fourth that I'm clueless.
This is who I was considering.
Okay.
The heaviest consideration for me. Troy Davis.
Agreed. I'm in the same boat. He was the leader in my clubhouse this morning.
I mean, Troy Davis has done things on a football field that we've yet
haven't done. Nobody else has done.
He did it at Iowa State on bad teams.
2,000 yards in back-to-back seasons, an 11-game schedule. And everybody says, your favorite Hawk friend will say, well, you know, they're behind by 30 points. I mean, it's easy to get second-team yards. No, credit my guy Chris Andringa for looking this up last year. Troy Davis had just as many yards in the first half than he did in the second half. So he was running against first-teamers for a good portion. And Iowa State was in a lot of those games. Their defense was garbage, but they were in a lot of those games. He was unbelievable. The guy, I mean, to do what he did, he made Iowa State football fun when they weren't very good, but that guy was so, so good. To finish second in the Heisman for an Iowa State team that won three games, should have won the Heisman, truthfully. If he doesn't get screwed by the Southern voters, it's not automatic.
You
he's
don't
on
think
Mount Rushmore.
Danny Warfel deserved the Heisman. Which was a bigger Heisman ripoff, Danny Warfel, Troy Davis, or Eddie George, Tommy Frazier?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm out.
They
State
were both.
Guy. Danny Warfel had no business winning that. Other than the fact Florida was pretty good, they were good. But when you can throw to Riedel, Anthony, and some other really good receivers, Troy, they would literally. Iowa State would leave a guy unblocked. We've talked to Steve Loney about this. He said, well, why'd do that? He's like, that was Troy's guy to make miss, and he always did. And he wasn't the fastest guy, but he averaged 5.5 yards a carry, and everybody knew it was coming. Unbelievable. I mean, I'm talking myself back into putting Troy back in. I'm 2,000 yards back-to-back seasons. Unbelievable.
Hey, he was right there for me. Like, you... I think a little diversity in this list might be a good thing.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it. Not decided yet. Who else is on your short list?
Jack Trice?
Yeah, I mean, really? Yeah.
I mean, the friggin' stadium's named after him.
And not only that.
His story.
The story is crazy, but he was, you know the story and the tragedy with Jack Trice.
Yeah.
He was the first, not just the first black football player. He was the first black athlete at Iowa State in a time in the 20s when this was, even in the North, it was extremely controversial. And now they have the stadium named after him and what happened to him and the letter and everything else, like the social impact, nobody else has had more social impact on Iowa State than Jack Trice. You could consider that for that alone.
I know.
I mean, I agree. Like, that's a consideration to make. It's tough to say, you know, his contribution on the athletic field because it was so much more than that. But I think Jack Trice's story is crazy good, and I wish the rest of college football and the rest of sports knew more about what Jack Trice did. That should be a movie. I mean, you've seen Rudy. Jack Trice is a movie.
Pete Taylor.
He's right on my – I wanted to go with Pete.
Because the thing about Pete – and we have a lot of young people who listen.
Correct.
You guys watch games on TV all the time. Games are on TV.
Every one of them is.
They weren't back then.
There was maybe two.
I mean, how many games, Brent, were you as a child not able to watch, and your single connection to Iowa State Athletics was through Pete Taylor and Eric Heft?
That's why I'm a fan today. No lie. That's why I'm an Iowa State fan. It's because of Pete Taylor and Eric. And I wanted to put them both on there, and I think they both – should be in the conversation, and I don't take that lightly. Because Pete Taylor was the voice of the Cyclones for 33 years.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because I think that Eric Heft is just as deserving as Pete. He's the next one I was going to say. Because he's been the bridge, and we all love John Walters, but Heft's been there the whole time.
And by the way, was a really good player,
too.
I think Eric Heft needs to be in the conversation. He has watched more Iowa State athletic events in person, than anybody alive, because he's done both the basketball and the football. He started doing the basketball in the late 70s because he was best friends with Pete Taylor, and Pete said, I need a guy to help me out. So Eric said, I'll do it. Eric would then work for the Cyclone Radio Network for years and then picked up the football duties in the early 1980s. He has literally seen everything. And if you know Eric, phenomenal dude, but he is Iowa State Athletics to me because I don't think anybody embodies the tough times more than Eric Hecht, because he would always find some humor in the darkest days.
The best example being the Baylor game from the Rhodes era in the 70s to whatever it was.
We'll have to post that in the forums because it's still literally my favorite audio clip I've ever heard.
Can you do that for me?
I can send that to you. Can you put it? Maybe you can embed it in here.
Yeah, I can do something.
Yeah, so but it was my favorite audio in the worst game I've ever seen in my life.
Devondrick Neely with his first touchdown as a Cyclone. Grant Roach with his first touchdown pass. And the Cyclones avoid the shutout and avoid the worst margin of defeat in school history.
Well, so far.
Well, I can't. Well,
yeah. I'm not saying anything.
Yeah.
Roach. Come on, Edwin, just kick it out of the end zone. I don't want to see it return.
End over end. It'll be taken by Coleman at the 3-yard line. Coleman angles left. He's to the 15, 20, 25, 30. Oh, no. Here he goes. Across midfield to the 40, to the 30. Coleman is going to take it all the way for a touchdown. Gross, Savant. Unbelievable. And it's 70-7 Baylor. And I'm guilty of being that guy that walks in and say, hey, there's a no-hitter going on.
All right, so that was the Baylor game.
But that's Eric Hecht, because even in the worst possible game, and by the way, a big assist to John Walters, who nobody can replace Pete Taylor except John Walters. And I think all three of those guys.
The only thing that's keeping John out of it is longevity, because Pete was around in an era where there's no TV, so nope. He was your voice, and then Eric's longevity, that's the only reason, John, I'd left him.
And it's not just longevity, because I think you develop a reverence for people that are around a long time. Pete was damn good at what he did. I mean, I respect the craft of a play-by-play guy, because that's what I wanted to do growing up because of Pete. He could have literally done anything. He was so good at what he did. And Eric is a phenomenal color guy as well. Those guys are good. It's not just that they've been around for a while. They were damn good at what they did, and I think they deserve to be in the conversation for this too. I became an Iowa State fan because of Pete Taylor. I hope the young people, and I sound really old saying that, but they understand how big of importance Pete Taylor was for people of my generation and older, because they were just as big of making people Iowa State fans than Johnny Orr, Fred Hoiberg, or Dan McCartney.
Yeah, it's the era. The radio play-by-play band was a superstar.
Yep. That
Jim Zobel was for Iowa.
Absolutely.
I'm sure a Nebraska fan could name somebody.
But it's right. Not quite the same today. But John Walters has carried that torch. But back in that era, Pete Taylor was Iowa State Athletics more than anybody.
He's on my list. Gary Thompson.
Yep.
I kind of went over this at the beginning. Now, Thompson was on the lower part of my list, only in the sense that, again, when I talk about the kid walking down campus today, I think fewer of them know Gary than they probably should.
Correct.
If you're out there and you love Iowa State history, I would encourage you to read the biography of Gary Thompson that
phenomenal.
Chuck Offenberger wrote, what, 5-6 years ago?
Yeah, awesome.
That's a phenomenal book. A couple of the greatest experiences I've had in my career, right? I try and do this once every 2 years, where I just schedule 30 minutes, and it usually turns into 2 hours, and I just go and sit up in Gary Thompson's office up there at Thompson Oil, and we chat. And I've learned so much about Iowa State from my chats with Gary over the years. But again, like what came down to me was not only his career,
right,
which was phenomenal.
He beat Wilt Chamberlain.
Yes. I mean, the stories about the armory,
yeah.
Like it's insane, the history there. But
the
then what he did
rocket.
After was a broadcaster. Because you watch these games on the NCAA tournament, and that's Iowa State's Gary Thompson. The rolling rocket. And he's on national TV.
He was doing national TV before ESPN was really a thing.
Yeah. He was the guy.
Yeah.
He was like the number one guy.
I'm not sure people appreciate how elevated he was in the broadcast world.
Well, I mean,
Iowa State games all the way until 2004
he's
or 5.
Basically Bill Raftery back in the day?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's fair. Like, he was a national-level guy. And then stuck with the Iowa State Cycle Network and is, you know, and did Big 12 games forever. And it was really good.
I don't think that what... I mean, I don't know this for a fact because I think Pollard was in love with Hoiberg the whole time, but Gary Thompson has had something to do with all of these hires.
Everyone since Johnny Orr.
Yeah.
He was involved with because he was... Gene Smith was a sounding board, so Gary was influential in hiring both Tim Floyd and Larry Eustachy. And then I think McDermott and Hoiberg as well. And probably Wayne. But that was more of an emergency situation that we can get into another podcast.
Speaking of Wayne, where are they now with Wayne Morgan coming up next week at Cyclone Fanatic?
Is that actually, it's happening.
No, Rob talked to him for an hour.
I can't wait to read that.
He talked to him for an hour, Brent.
Probably not going to make Mount Rushmore, but...
He's not making
Mount Rushmore. He did make a tournament.
But he was super interesting.
And actually, Rob said he was a really pleasant
phenomenal
interview.
Guy. Yeah. Yeah. I want to try and get him on the podcast.
Always, Wayne, he was a great guy. He always was. He was always friendly to us.
Yeah. He sure was.
Yep.
And he had great quotes.
He did.
Along the way.
He did.
Couple more here.
Okay. You're going almost exactly down my list. So
really?
We're on the same page here.
I think George Niang needs to just be a blurb on this conversation.
He should be. He should be.
If you look at what he accomplished and his numbers going to hang, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. And again, what do you do for Iowa State outside of the playing field or off the court? How are you as an ambassador to Iowa State?
Correct.
And Niang gets a 10. I mean, if it's like a video game, right, where you have ratings across the board, Niang is an absolute 10 in that capacity. And he backed it up. He the most popular player I've ever covered. Now,
I think that's fair.
I didn't cover Hoiberg. I'm sure that was a whole different deal, being the hometown kid and
but
everything.
But similar, really.
Very similar. Yeah. Although what George had was the ability through social media to grow that even more. And he was damn good at it. George Niang had the ability to connect with kids and parents at the Capital City League where you stay after for 2 hours yep. signing every autograph. Everything George did off the court was impeccable when it comes to being an ambassador for Iowa State. I don't know if I ever met a guy, including Hoiberg, who genuinely loves Iowa State more than George. George would live in Ames right now if he could.
Yeah, he's coming back this summer. I'm playing in his charity golf tournament.
Point made. But I can't play in that. It's the same as Big 12 Media Day.
Oh, man. Well, I'll hang out with a big fella for you.
Thanks.
No, but you're right. And one of my favorite things I've ever written for Cyclone Fanatic was my column on George. And I don't know if I ever told this story, but I wrote it right before the Baylor game. This is like late February of his senior year. Basically saying, George is Iowa State to a T. A lot of success at times, snake bitten.
Yeah.
Because if you think about the stuff he went through, his freshman year, they get beat by Ohio State in that buzzer beater with the controversy we talked about. Sophomore year, he breaks his foot in what could have been a Final Four team. Junior year, he has his shot blocked, maybe a foul against UAB to lose the game. And then senior year was great, but he ended up scoring 30 points back-to-back games in the loss to Virginia. But even before that, I wrote this article, and they're playing Baylor that night. And George, I don't really know George that well, but he goes out of his way to send me a message on Twitter, a direct message. So nobody saw it. He wasn't doing this for publicity. Just saying, hey, man, read your article. Made me smile. Appreciate what you do. And, you know, that just means the world to me that you would write that. Like, he's got a game to play, but he's reaching out to a slappy like me for writing an article about him. Like, he didn't have to do that, but always he was just, that's the guy he was. And I'm guessing there's probably 20, 25 other people that have a similar story where he went out of his way to just be a good human to them when he didn't have to be. So I think Niang should be in the conversation, but I agree.
It's too
not
early.
To the level. Yeah, he's not there yet.
It's too early. This is just timing not working out. I feel like if you and I do this podcast in 20 years, there's a better chance George ends up on it than right now.
I will say
we'll
this.
See how transcendent he is. I think he will be.
Of all the people that do not have a jersey retired at Iowa State, I think he's number one on my list, ahead of Fizer and Tinsley.
Oh, me too.
I think he.
Oh, absolutely.
I think he deserves it, and I think Marcus and Jamal do too. But I think George above them. So we'll,
what about Edgem?
No,
I'm not talking for Mount Rushmore.
No,
I'm talking
I love Melvin, and I just.
You can't give it to everybody.
You can't give it to everybody. And in my opinion, if you're going to give it to Edgem, you have to give it to George, Marcus, Jamal, and Monte Morris before him.
Yeah, I don't know if I could argue that.
So, but hey, again, if you want to hand them out. But like North Carolina just hands them out to everybody. But I think George belongs first on that list. That's another podcast.
Yeah, that's a totally different podcast. I agree. The last one I had. Before I get to who I have,
okay,
is Jamie Pollard.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a lot like a couple of these guys where, specifically Niang, I think Pollard's story is still to be told.
Correct.
We know what Niang did on the court. Nobody will ever take that away from him. But I think George has more to give to Iowa State, and I think his legacy at Iowa State is still going to grow. As far as Jamie Pollard goes, this is where it gets tricky with Jamie, because there's a lot of people out there who will point at hires he's made that have not worked.
That haven't worked.
And I agree. And part of what he's judged on is hiring.
No question.
That's his
job. He knows that.
Yes. There's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that Pollard, political stuff, financing stuff, that it really took a shrewd businessman to pull out of Iowa State out of some bad situations. And I feel like Jamie Pollard is more valuable to Iowa State athletics than most people understand. And I think that, again, is a story that will be told in 10 years, more so than it has been right now. But if you think about the Big 12 missile crisis, if you consider facility upgrades, I think the marketing's been really good under him, and Mary Pink deserves a lot of credit for that as well, mm-hmm. his marketing mm-hmm. athletics director.
Yep.
But I think Pollard absolutely deserves to be in the conversation. He's not there yet. His story is yet to be told. How does Matt Campbell work out? How does Steve Prohm work out? A lot of unknowns, but I think that we should at least discuss it.
Agreed. He was on my list as well. I mean, I looked at the number up today. When he got the Iowa State job in 2005, the Iowa State athletics budget was $28 million. As it stands today, it's a little over $75 million. So do the math. Now, a lot of that is the TV contracts. I get it. But he was extremely influential in the season ticket increase, the South End Zone. I mean, all the facility stuff.
I mean, think about what he did when he got hired. The guy freaking put a billboard up in Iowa City.
I think so.
Like,
I
a lot of that stuff annoyed people.
It worked.
The
tailgate tour stuff.
What's fun about the summer series, we're sitting here having beers. Damn it. Like, I'll say we. He went to bat for us. Like, we needed.
Nobody had done that before.
We needed a guy to be brash, damn it. We needed somebody in the Big 12 room who would stand up for Iowa State and not just blend in with the rest of the little schools who were just there along for the ride. And the whole squeaky wheel gets the grease crap. Well, Pollard's a squeaky wheel sometimes, and damn it, I like that.
Iowa State for far too long was just there for the ride, and Jamie said, "You know what? No, we've got a lot to be proud of. We're gonna establish ourselves," and it rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, especially those in Iowa City. They're still not pleased with that guy. But same with some of the people in the Big 12. But Iowa State needed that to get to a relevant program. They needed somebody to be boisterous, and Jamie's done some things that I'm like,
what's he doing?
What are you doing? But most of his moves have been effective, and look where Iowa State is now in 2017 compared to where he got here. Light years better, and he deserves a whole lot of credit for the growth of Iowa State. I think I said earlier in the podcast, Dan McCartney was maybe the biggest factor for why there's more Iowa State fans in Central Iowa now. I think it's 50-50 with Iowa fans.
But I think Jamie Pollard's number two on the list. What he's done to make Iowa State relevant deserves a lot of respect. And I agree. I think the story's to be told, but he was on my list of consideration for sure.
Do you have anyone else that you want to discuss before we get to the elephant in the room?
Well, so a couple. Like I said Barry Stevens and Jeff Greer. I kind of rolled them in with Johnny Orr. I don't think they deserve their own place there. Cale Sanderson?
That's my number four.
Is it? I thought about it. I don't know, man.
I have a really hard time with this.
And I'll throw Cale. So the wrestling conversation, I think, deserves it. It's another conversation. Cale, Dan Gable?
No, can't have Dan.
Okay, I agree. And then Harold Nichols was the coach back then for Dan Gable. But he won six national championships now. Like, you got to respect.
I do.
The man won six national championships.
I absolutely respect it. I'm sorry. I don't. When you think of Dan Gable, you think of the University of Iowa.
Agreed. End of argument right there. Can I give you another name that I consider?
Yeah, absolutely.
Bill Finley?
Yep, me too. He was on. I'm sorry. He's the last one on my list. Bill Finley, absolutely.
What he did for Iowa State women's basketball, and I think Iowa State women's sports. I mean, back, he made Iowa State women's sports fun to go to. I don't know. Cross country was always pretty good. I mean, I don't remember Iowa State softball being very good or anything. Volleyball was never really good until Christie came in. But he was a pioneer that way. In Bill Finley's first game, he has the box score in his office. They had like 300 fans at an Iowa State women's basketball game. And now they average, Chris, they average over 10,000 a game, which is more than half of some of the BCS teams in men's basketball.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen. They've made 9 straight NCAA tournaments at one point. It's the longest streak of any other team, men's or women's, in the state of Iowa. And it's a first-class program. I think Bill Finley has to be considered. He is, as you've said, he's one of the supreme figures for Iowa State.
The thing about Finley is, and I know both of these guys very well. I don't think they would mind if I tell this story. The women didn't make the tournament 2 years ago.
Correct. And that stopped the nine in a row or 10 in a row, whatever it was.
And Bill Finley was in Denver. Steve Prohm invited him. Steve Prohm thought that much of Bill Finley that he needed him there and wanted him there for support. The reason I tell that story is when Matt Campbell needs to talk to somebody, who do you think he calls?
No question.
He's calling
all those
Bill
guys.
They
all do.
Bill Finley, I've said for years, is the cornerstone of Iowa State athletics.
I don't disagree at all.
He still is.
Yep. That guy does more for Iowa State than I think anybody knows. And he's not just with the women's basketball program, but the whole athletic department. There's not a better ambassador for Iowa State even now than Bill Finley.
You're right. Unfortunately, he still is the women's basketball coach.
Right. And Bill would not want to be on this.
No. Damn it, I don't want to put Cale Sanderson on this list. But let me read some things to you, okay?
Okay.
159-0.
I don't know.
4 NCAA titles. 4-time NCAA outstanding wrestler. 4-time Big 12 champion. Olympic gold medalist. Comes to Iowa State as a coach. Leads the Cyclones to a second-place finish in nationals as a rookie. 3 Big 12 titles in 3 seasons. Guy was on a freaking Wheaties box, for Christ's sake. And then he leaves and guts the program.
Right.
That hasn't been anywhere close since. And there's some hard feelings in the athletic department greatly about how that all happened. Now, a lot of fans point the finger at Jamie Pollard. They say you should have paid the guy.
Mm-hmm.
I look at Jamie Pollard, and I think a lot of his genius is the fact that he makes tough decisions sometimes when it comes to economics. And I don't know economically at the time what was going on. I wasn't as in tune to it at that point. But I have a feeling Jamie probably had a line in the sand, and he kept it there, and Cale didn't like it, so he left. And he's winning national titles left and right at Penn State right now. So I have a really hard time right now, Brent, ignoring what the man did on the mat.
No doubt.
What the man did as a coach. And also watching, look at the program drop after he's gone. That's how valuable he was. I have a hard time with that. And then being like, this is a guy who just up and left us. And he hasn't been back since. And that's where I have a really hard time leaving the Gary Thompsons off, leaving the Pete Taylors and Jack Trices off, the Eric Heffs off. But he went 159-0 and is a four-time national champion gold medalist. I don't know how you can leave him off. This was the hard one for me.
Yeah, I know.
Here's the deal. My heart wants to put Eric Heft on this list.
Mm-hmm.
If it's my personal one, I put Eric Heft on at number four. Eric Heft or Jack Trice. I put either one of those guys.
Can I throw some other names to under consideration that I looked at? Seneca.
Yeah.
Larry, Stacey, Tim Floyd. But not to the level of these guys. But I'm just those are the names that I had
on. Let's hash them out, though. Seneca, this is why I'd say no. Only 2 years. He's the most exciting football player I've seen at Iowa State.
Agreed.
But I think of that last year, and I think of a lot of disappointment.
The way it ended.
You know, it's just...
It was bad, yeah. It's just a bummer, though, half of that year.
If Seneca is sitting in New York,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. If you're talking Iowa State football players, we got to talk about him here. But I don't think that he's
not on this
a finalist.
For the big board.
And the two others, I mean, I don't think you can... I mean, really? Do you really think Larry Stacey?
No, but he has. He got Iowa State to the furthest they've been.
That's the best
Iowa State basketball team.
Yeah,
and so I think I just want to mention him. I agree. Not on my final four. And then Tim Floyd went to 3 tournaments in 4 years and got to a Sweet 16. So I think he deserves at least a mention.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with that one.
Yeah, but I mean, here's my thing with Cale. And I thought a lot about this today.
Well, I've been thinking about this for a week.
He can't make it for me. He can't do it. Just like the story's still to be told with Jamie and George and some of those other guys that are still ongoing. He lost me, and I think he lost some Iowa State fans. I know what he did on the mat.
He lost me too, for what it's worth.
This comes down. If it was just individual accolades, he's number one of any Iowa State person, truthfully, right? Like he's done more in his sport, in his nationally being on a Wheaties box than any other Iowa State athlete in history, winning a gold medal. But I can't ignore what happened and what he's doing now at Penn State, and he could have done that at Iowa State. Like I can't get past that. I cannot put him on my Mount Rushmore because of that.
I guess. Maybe I'm just talking ignorantly here, because I don't know everything that happened on his way out.
Well, and we don't. We can make assumptions.
I mean, can I throw this back at you?
Mm-hmm.
You talked about Fred Hoiberg earlier and how you know this is just the way things are these days, and people leave and they take jobs.
Very fair rebuttal.
I mean, Cale took a job that he saw and he's kicked ass ever since he got there.
The difference between Fred and Cale is Cale moved to a competitor.
Yeah, I know. You're right.
Fred did not. If Fred took the Minnesota job, which was speculated
which
at one point.
Was closer than people want to know.
Then that's a problem with me, in a way. And
Cale took recruits, too, on his way out.
I don't want to be disrespectful to wrestling because Iowa State is built one of the best sports. The best sport in their history is wrestling. But I think that in the large scope, like I said at the beginning, if you're looking at it from an outside, from somebody knowing Iowa State, I think wrestling's behind football and men's basketball.
And women's basketball, I believe. I believe women's basketball is a bigger brand at Iowa State right now than wrestling does.
Attendance is probably better.
No question attendance is better.
So, but that's why, again, what Cale did was so unbelievable, though. And that back in 2001, 2002, that captured America. Like, that wasn't just an Iowa State story. That was worldwide story.
It was crossed over.
So, if it was just athletic performance, I put him on there. But I just, from an impact standpoint, I cannot have him on there and not have Pete Taylor for me. I think that's my. I think I want to go with Pete Taylor for my fourth. I respect what Troy did. I respect what Cale did. I respect what Jack Trice's social impact, which I don't want to ignore. But I think my four, I have to have Pete Taylor on there.
I really want to go with Jack Trice at Erhaft for my fourth, but it's just like, man.
There's not a right answer.
No, there's not. And that's why, do you know, after I've kind of, so I've just been like a streaming consciousness here for you. My first three I'm super confident in. In fact, I would challenge you guys to talk me off of one of those three. Some of you will probably try with Dan McCarney. And I would challenge you to talk to some old timers. Not even that, to talk to Bill Finley. Talk to any of those people. And they'll tell you about how Dan McCarney's legacy still looms in that Jacobson building to this day.
You know what?
Those three were easy for me. This fourth one is brutal. Yeah. I've been tussling with this for a week.
Gonna have to make a decision. My fourth is Pete Taylor. I'll go with your three. I like him. I'm comfortable. And give me Pete. Never want to forget Pete.
No, I like that. I don't think you can go wrong with Pete either. I kind of don't want ours to be the exact same, though.
No.
I'm gonna stick with Cale Sanderson.
Okay. That's respectable.
I'm sticking with him a little bit like... It's a little bit like... just to make it topical, it's a little bit like LeBron James. Listen, hear me out.
Okay.
Where if LeBron James would leave the Cleveland Cavaliers in the offseason, they're going to go from being the best team in the East to... Kyrie's great, but they're going to be...
Yeah, they're the Raptors. The Raptors.
Because he was that good. Or he's that iconic. And despite how he went out and why he went out, and I don't know everything. I think I know a lot, but I don't know everything. The wrestling program has died. It's dead at Iowa State. Now, hopefully Kevin Dresser is going to pick it up, and I think that he will.
Mm-hmm.
It's another reason why I think that it was so hard to expect Kevin Jackson to, you don't want to follow that guy.
The legend. Yeah.
And I think that shows how great he was and is. I don't like it either. I don't like the fact that he doesn't come back to Ames. I don't like the fact that there's bad blood. I'm a Jamie Pollard guy before I'm a Cale Sanderson guy. But I can't ignore 159-0 in a Wheaties box, a gold medal, and four national titles.
No, I get it.
And in the sport that you said yourself is the most successful sport in the history of Iowa State athletics.
It is.
So I'm going to stick with Cale. Probably my runner-up would be Jack Trice because of the social impact, which that makes me sick to say that I put a guy on there who just left, and I'm leaving Jack Trice off the list. That bothers me.
No, but I get why you'd be
Jack
bothered by that.
He has a freaking stadium named after him.
And it's still the only stadium in college football named after an African-American.
Yeah, and I'm proud of that. That's as an cool, Iowa State alum. I'm it's damn really cool. proud of that.
You can't ignore what Cale did on the mat, though. Nobody's done that.
Well, and then not only on the mat, but on the mat after Iowa State.
Yeah.
And that, to me, was the real value. Four-time national title. Frankly, I don't know. 159-0. I still don't think I probably would have put him on here because it's wrestling. Don't kill me, wrestling guys. It's just, yeah. It's not as big. The Olympic thing, the Wheaties thing, he was so big for Iowa State in that time, and he crossed over to sports that didn't care about amateur wrestling. It's on SportsCenter to watch this guy.
He was back when SportsCenter was actually cool.
Yeah. So I'm going to stick with it.
I remember when they broke into coverage of like a conference final basketball game to show the Cale Sanderson match. It was a huge deal. I bought the Wheaties box. I didn't even like wrestling. It's like, there's an Iowa State guy on a Wheaties box? It's phenomenal. Yeah.
Do you agree with me on Dan Gable?
Yeah. No, I respect what he did, but when I think of Dan Gable, I think of Hawk.
You think of creating the biggest dynasty in the history of college wrestling.
All respect to him.
Yeah, at the University of Iowa. There are certain guys where it's just when you go somewhere for that long and have that much success, you are not thought of with that other program anymore.
I completely agree.
Roy Williams, you don't think of him as Kansas coach anymore. You think of him as a North Carolina coach.
Right, right. And it's gut wrenching because you don't want to leave somebody off.
Who's your number five? Because I would put Jack Trice at five for me. I would put Eric Heft at six, right there with Pete Taylor.
Troy.
And then Troy would be right there.
I had Troy at four, and then but the more I thought about it, and I probably took my bias into it, I think Pete Taylor had more to do with the impact of people, Iowa State fans, than Troy did at the end of the day. And again, I kind of went away from, I mean, people outside of Iowa State probably didn't know who Pete Taylor was, but he was, for 33 years, he was Iowa State athletics.
Yeah, but I feel like all four of these names, there can be different qualifiers.
Yeah.
To all of them.
I think Pete deserves to be on there, so I'm keeping him on there. But yeah, Fizer, Tinsley, I mean, I had those in my consideration as well, but not at five.
Is Fizer the best player you've ever seen at Iowa State?
Most dominant, yes.
Okay.
Yep, no question. Yeah. Him and Jamal was right there, too, though. I mean, they're in the same conversation. Marcus was really good. I mean, you think about what he did last eight games of his junior year. He averaged like 30 points, 8 rebounds on 70% shooting. Just filthy. Just filthy. And that team, another podcast.
Another podcast.
Yeah.
We'll have another one of these coming up in a couple weeks. We have not decided on the topic yet. But I do want to, again, remind everybody to thank Joel Ehlers. The reason we didn't have this last year is because it wasn't sponsored. This year it is J&S Acres Trucking. We are really on an advertising drive right now, guys. If you've seen with the Patreon page, if you haven't donated yet, it's a monthly donation.
I got mine in there.
Thank you, buddy. Yep. Anything from, well, I don't know why you're donating. You're on the payroll, but...
It's the symbolism of the thing.
But even a dollar a month, I mean, that adds up. We have 20,000 people on our website, and right now we have about 230 people donating.
Awesome.
If everybody could add it up, it would really... And then we could eliminate more ads and make the site better for you. We could cover more things for you. That's the goal. But I put that out there, and Joel Ehlers from J&S Acres Trucking said, hey, I want to support the site, and I also want to connect with other farmers out there who need... hauling and the transfer of cattle. Joel Ehlers is a fanatic who wants to help you or your neighbor or anybody. So give him a call today at 712-299-8196, and he will get your cattle moved in a timely and safe manner. All over the Midwest he works. Check him out. Joel Ehlers at J&S Acres Trucking. Bloomis was fun. It's going to create, I'm sure, a little bit of controversy. Hopefully positive reaction. Hopefully some nostalgia. And we'd love to see you guys all post your lists. And
absolutely.
Not only just your list, but why. I think that's important as well, because I think everybody's got something different that they're looking for when we had this Mount Rushmore conversation.
Yeah. Can't wait for the next podcast. All right. Got to figure out the topic.
Yeah, in a couple of weeks, I'm sure it'll be a good one. He is Brent Bloom. My name is Chris Williams. Thank you guys for listening. Please rate us on iTunes. Give us a 5-star. That would be epic. Later.